Welcome to Lore Diver, the podcast exploring popular and interesting tabletop RPG worlds. PS Gamer Patreon supporters gain early access to episodes, and all episodes are available on Podbean, Spotify, and YouTube. This episode is all about the deep down, Cyberpunk Red's hidden subsetting. This is the Aquatic Summer special episode, and I hope you're all ready for this amazing subsetting that few talk about or use. But first, some of my background. I'm a diver, literally. I'm a dive master and an assistant instructor on the recreational side, and I've been a commercial and scientific diver on the working side. I've got hundreds of fun and working dives under my belt, and I love pretty much everything underwater. So this is all about my favorite hostile environment, home away from home. Now let's roll into this. The Deep Down is the name introduced in Cyberpunk Red for Earth's vast, and I do mean vast, undersea settlements and complexes. But it's not the first time in the setting that we've been there, so come on back to the mid-90s with me for a moment. Dynamic time in games was big in the 1990s, with settings moving forward on an active timeline as new books were released. Games like Heavy Gear, the whole World of Darkness series, and even some D&D settings were famous for this, and Cyberpunk 2020 was no different. Ostensibly set in 2020, the timeline nudged forwards gently until the final books of the series, which covered the Fourth Corporate War. Titled Firestorm Stormfront and Firestorm Shockwave, these books laid the foundation for the action scene we see in Johnny Silverhand's raid on Arasaka Tower in the Cyberpunk 2077 game. They jumped the timeline forward and changed the landscape of the world, literally. Rock drops are savage. We'll cover that in a different episode, though. Anyways, Book 1 is where the action was for the Deep Down. Specifically, it gave us a partial glimpse into the wild scene under the waves of Cyberpunk's Earth. Otek and Sino, the patsy megacorps that Eurobank manipulates into this whole war situation, have their facilities laid out, and it's astounding. There's dozens of undersea manufacturing, agricultural, and resource extraction sites all over the planet. But what doesn't hit as fast is the realization that these are just Otek and Sino. Militech, Biotechnica, Arasaka, and any other number of major players or minor players that aren't created, like these are things you can make on your own, are likely to have facilities too. Aside from that awesome map of the world, and we'll cover more on that later, there's also some site maps and details for undersea facilities, the subpens, and a metric ton of gear, like sweet, sweet geared equipment. Now, jumping into the modern day, it's easy to see all the ideas that are hinted at in the Stormfront book were all true. Cyberpunk Red reveals that there's a whole second setting under the waves, and not just the agricultural and industrial settings and facilities that we learned about before. There's settlements. Some of which are in contact with the surface. Others, still hiding. And in my opinion, the ones that are still hiding, probably still hiding because they were combatants in the last war, and still aren't exactly sure about what's going on. But suffice to say, they interact through the surface world through proxies, and it's a whole world waiting to be explored. Now, let's talk about some game ideas. Right away, we have a lot to work with. There is a solid baseline of equipment, cyberware, and important mods to cyberware for extended underwater usage, vehicles, and even optional mechanics and combat rules all coming out of the Stormfront book. There are also some key world-building facts in the book, such as the reality that there's still wild fish fisheries, and the technology to keep large swaths of the ocean clear of pollutants, which means that the heavy pollution of the world is a corporate choice. So that's right, they have the ability to clean it up, and they are actively choosing not to. Now, right away, we now have some metaplot action, there's a lot of great gear to look at, and all the stuff that we need to do the job. There's also a fantastic page on floating cities, better known in the time of the Red as Drift Nations. Which brings us to Cyberpunk Red. Red lays out a good picture of the surface scene, and that's the link to the Deep Down. Drift cities are noted as places of trade and commerce, but what are they trading? Where are they getting it? How is the world not starving despite clear damage to the environment? In my mind, drift cities are the link between the conventional surface world and the Deep Down in most conventional games. Coming at it from another direction, the Deep Down and the Drift Nation partners are a whole opportunity for the GM and players to do something different, because they'll still need edge runners underwater, and the whole scene down there is likely to be wildly different from usual. So, why? Why leave the hot, humid days and nights of Night City for sea spray, claustrophobia, and levels of tech dependency that are unheard of on land? Right off the hop, the thing to remember is that the oceans and ocean-style campaigns in Cyberpunk Red are going to be tech-heavy. It's a unique subsetting, very similar to Orbit, where techs, netrunners, medias, fixers, and other nominally support-type roles in the game are going to be moving into the forefront, because a lot of the time, cannot engage in the sort of like heavy-handed, combat-intensive sorts of missions that you would in a conventional game of Cyberpunk. Also, the type of combat is going to be wildly different. It's going to involve different weapons, different tactics, different styles, because you cannot risk damaging the environment you're in too badly. Otherwise, you might suffer from catastrophic hull failure, which is something we saw in reality earlier this summer. The next thing is that humans are looking for places to live and survive, and more importantly, thrive in the world of Cyberpunk Red. The surface is an irradiated mess. Orbit cannot take everybody. Where are you going to go? Well, your options are underground or underwater. And quite honestly, seeing where things go in 2077, the idea of floating cities, undersea facilities, and islands within the good bands of climate are going to be more and more attractive to more and more people. And we're going to see more and more people going to it because they'll have a stable climate and more reliable access to resources. Now, of course, this brings more challenges because, like I said before, everything is more tech dependent. The next reason is that it's super easy to create a night city analog with a floating city. As a game master, if you want to have your own little chunk of the world and not really worry too much about trying to fit it into the conventional geography and geopolitical situation of the world, a floating city is the way to go. You can create a fantastic night city analog complete with, slum districts, combat zones, conflicts, megacorps, everything else like that, and it's yours very, very easily. Now, there's something else that I'd like to bring up here, and that's that there's a certain level of positivity in the Deep Down subsetting that's absent from the more grinding grimness of a conventional cyberpunk game. It's still cyberpunk, but it's cyberpunk with a light at the end of the tunnel that isn't muzzle flash. There is a chance for survival, there's a chance for betterment, all that sort of stuff. So it can give this little bit of a positive note to your game if you're looking for that. Now, for a group that's not necessarily into heavy combat, as a subsetting, it supports that. Like I mentioned earlier, massive gun battles and an undersea dome are not a good plan. So a heavy role-playing or heavy sneaking and covert operations style group is going to have a lot more to do and have a lot more fun in these sort of undersea settings than they may have in a more conventional surface setting. Now, coming up to its sort of its sister subsetting in the world, Orbital, it's more closely linked to land than the Orbital subsetting. Generally, and this is coming from my experience playing Cyberpunk 2020 and observing other people playing and stuff like that, getting into orbit really changes the game a lot, usually permanently, because once you get into orbit, nobody ever wants to come back to Earth. Everyone wants to stay in orbit. However, the Deep Down is still very connected to the conventional setting and mixes really well with Night City, the Pacifica Confederation, and other Cyberpunk Red staples. It's easy to fit in, and you can move back and forth from it without feeling that you've lost something, or without feeling that as a player you achieved something and then gave it up, because you can go back relatively easy, whereas going into orbit, a little more challenging. Now, the last reason, and this is something that I talked about again earlier in the episode, it is a mine of tech from the golden age of the 2020s. Yes, some of these domes got burst. Some facilities were destroyed. However, when you look at the map in that Stormfront book, you have to remember that that's just Otech and Sino and IHAG, the defunct corporation they're trying to buy. We don't need to worry about that right now, though. What we need to worry about is the fact that there's tons of stuff under there, and unlike the surface, they didn't have a technological regression. So a lot of that stuff is still there. A lot of the capability to make it is still there. And that means that there are jobs, and plots available from this setting, because what is easier than recreating something? It's going and finding the original information to start with, and these facilities are likely going to have it. Now, it's going to be super risky, super dangerous, all that sort of good stuff, all the things that makes a good cyberpunk game, but it's there. Now, like I said earlier, if you are looking to do this, there's two books that you'll need. Obviously, you need the Cyberpunk Red Core book, and you're going to need the Cyberpunk 2020 Firestorm Stormfront book. Those two books will give you all the information that you need, the maps, all that sort of stuff, in order to get you started on this. And if you do go for this, just buckle up and be prepared, because it is a whole wild ride. And I strongly recommend hitting up some sci-fi style movies and stuff for inspiration, because a lot can go on underneath there. Now, Cyberpunk is a game known for Night City, but its subsettings offer so much wider and more immersive experiences for a broader range of playstyles and story types than Night City does. So, give them a chance. This has been the Aquatic Summer Special. I hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you very much for listening. And remember that you can support this podcast through the official PLC Gamer Patreon or with the official PLC Gamer Coffee. Now, remember, stay safe, hydrate, and I'll see you next episode.